This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Larry Besterman. He's the president and CEO of a company called TWD & Associates. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good morning.
I got CTO and CEO all confused there. Huh? Maybe you're both, but you're just the CEO, huh?
Yeah, I think just the CEO. We have smarter guys than me who would function more like a CTO.
You know, Todd Park says that the smart people always work for someone else's company, but at least you have smart people working for your company, huh?
We have at least a few, yes.
A few. That's good. The reason I wanted to bring Larry is to just maybe split up the conversation and talk about other things besides big data and the cloud, and talk about communications and unified communications and collaboration. And many of my listeners are kind of forced to make a move or a change in this area. And if you want to find out what kind of options and kind of challenges other agencies have had and how they solve the problems, and bring Larry in. And Larry's had a long experience in this area, and he can talk about problems and solutions and possible different options for my listeners. But what my listeners really want to know is they say, Larry Besterman, what's his background? Why is he on the radio? And maybe you could tell us about your background, Larry, and how you wound up with TWD.
Well, I was born in Philadelphia and grew up in South Jersey. But after going to West Point and serving a five-year stint in the Army, I got a job here in the D.C. area. And I've been here ever since. And I've been working in government contracting ever since. Started off with one of the Big Eight accounting firms and went on to other small companies, going up through staff level and management level jobs. I actually came to TWD quite a while ago. Of our 20 years in business, I've been at TWD for 19 of those years. And as we grew from a very small startup size company, I was a program manager and then a director and then CFO. And then we did using our ESOP, our employee stock ownership plan, bought out the founder in 2003 and became president at that time.
So for more information, you can go to TWD.com. What a simple URL. You must have been in business 20 years ago, because 20 years ago they were simple, huh?
Yeah, name is interesting and indicates the family-owned heritage of the business. The T, the W, and the D are actually the first initials of the founder's children, Teresa, William, and David. So we are rooted in the family, and it was a family-owned business for a long time, and we still try to maintain that as part of our culture.
And I think that's what's important the listeners should know, is that you have been in business for two decades serving a wide range of government agencies, and you must have a solid reputation because you handle some very, very serious topics like secure communications. I mean, I don't think anyone listening is going to go to a startup and say, yeah, I want you to handle my secure communications going overseas. I mean, I think my listeners are more responsible than that. Let's talk about what TWD does for our listeners and where you fit in the federal landscape.
Well, the founder and some of the early principles of the company came out of White House communications. So secure communications is sort of in their work experience and in their corporate DNA from that perspective. And we started off principally in telecommunications and providing circuits and phone systems and things like that. And we branched out and added to those capabilities over the year in basic IT and dealing with early networks and local area networks and servers and things like that, and adding video and other multimedia capabilities as we went along. And we've just, from that center, continued to build out our capabilities and evolve those capabilities as the market has evolved over the 20 years, and always incorporating latest security technologies associated with that, those technologies as they've grown over the years.
You folks have been in business 20 years. About 7 or 8 years ago, I started studying VOIP and unified communications, and I got my feet wet, and I learned about SIP and different types of protocols, learned about security, and here it is in 7 years. It might as well be 70 years. I mean, now people just assume that unified communications is VOIP-based, isn't it?
Yeah, I think early on that was looked at as a goal or an endpoint, and now it's just the start point. If you're already doing VOIP, then you ought to be doing video in the same way, and you ought to be doing unified messaging and chat and video chat. And there's just a whole host of applications that wrap around that basic VOIP capability now.
That's great. You know, if you go to your website, twd.com, what's kind of interesting is that you folks handle Microsoft and Cisco and Avaya and ShoreTel and a wide brother of other vendors out there. But what's interesting is that, you know, there are some areas where they may be considered to be competitors.
Yeah, it's it is a bit of a challenge and a balancing act. And those companies are used to the fact that they're the systems integrators they work with multiple companies. And I think the reason companies do that is they want to be able to offer the right solution for their particular customer. And that's what you have to focus on. And you can't have a one solution offering because customers have different needs, different levels of budget that they're able to spend on their infrastructure. And that's going to lead to different solutions that might be from different providers.
You know, that hits the nail right on the head. I was at a conference yesterday, a big data conference, and one of the presenters talked about, they looked at three different solutions. One was Oracle, one was Microsoft, one was MarkData, and they selected MarkData. And I put my hand in there and I said, why? And they said, well, we thought it was going to be SharePoint, but SharePoint was the wrong fit. The better fit was MarkData. So we had to respond to our customers' needs and suggest MarkData. And it worked fine. It was great. And they said, well, the next project may be a SharePoint project. And for you, you can look at someone and say, well, for this agency, with this budget and this security requirement, we think product X is a solution.
And the other thing that you're reacting to and you want to be able to provide those different solutions is the government is a sophisticated buyer, and it has existing infrastructure, and it may have one or more of it may have requirements for particular types of solutions. You're not suggesting to them. They've already decided what they want. So you have to be able to respond to the requirement that they're setting, which may specify one solution over another.
And this is in a constantly changing environment. So if you look like TWD the last 10, 15 years and just look at what kind of communication systems were available, you know, back 10 years ago, no one talked about collaboration. No one talked about presence. Even 8 years ago, no one talked about presence. Now, in many situations, presence is assumed and mobile capabilities. Look at the influx of mobile devices in the last few years. No, I mean, they would, you know, 20 years ago, they wouldn't even consider anything like that.
Mobile is a very rapidly emerging area. And we are with our customers. We are playing catch up with where individuals have already gone with mobile devices. And there's a couple of different challenges, but one of those challenges is in the area of governance and policy, and how do you handle mobile devices when they haven't all been proven out with the security that you need in private line circuits. So governance and policy is a challenge, and then just the proliferation of applications that people use on their personal mobile devices, and trying to incorporate all that in business grade applications. And that's where I think unified communications plays a particularly important role in providing business grade applications for all the things that people are doing on their own personally, but doing in that secure and unified environment.
You know, you read about 3 million iPads sold right after the Mini was released, and you look at startups in downtown D.C. with people wearing T-shirts and beards, and you know, let's face it, their communication requirements are slightly different from some of the agencies who are listening now.
And that so is for sure.
Maybe they have to put on their grown-up pants and talk to TWD and say, okay, we like all this cool guy stuff, but you know what? We can't afford to make any mistakes. Bad guys are listening into our communications, and we can't make mistakes.
Right. And there's I think, very strong recognition of that in the federal IT community that that the risks are there and they have to be careful and proceed deliberately. And the customers that we see are doing just that. They haven't rushed headlong into it, but they are incorporating it into their technology infrastructures. And I think unified communications is a way of helping them do just that.
Unified communications and collaboration. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about call centers and security and incorporating mobile devices into this picture and maybe talk about video as well. It's kind of an intriguing concept for me in this category. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Larry Besterman, President and CEO of TWD. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Larry Besterman, President and CEO of a company called TWD. We're talking about unified communications and collaboration best practices. When I think about unified communications, I think about unified messaging, and maybe I'm getting mixed up. Perhaps my listeners are as well. Maybe you can differentiate them for us.
I think the easiest way to think about it is unified communications is a as an umbrella of a number of different applications, and unified messaging is a particular application underneath that umbrella that is specifically looking at email and text and voicemail and speech to text and text to speech and integrating all of that into one package.
Is it a temporal approach for me? I think of the communications as done in real time, and the messaging maybe in a call delay manner, where I might get email or voice messages or fax delayed. Where unified is just like right now. Is that a good way to differentiate them?
Well, I guess it can be seen that way, but I think it's actually more hierarchical. So you know, under the unified communication umbrella, you would think about chat and instant messaging and voice and video over the same infrastructure, and unified messaging just being one of the pieces inside that set of applications.
I was speaking to Vivek Kundra about 2 weeks ago, and I'm trying to place him on a TV show. And we went back and forth, and I talked about, he's with Salesforce now, he talked about the 25-point plan. And I read the 25-point plan again this morning, and he hit a lot of home runs. It was almost 25. He hit some very, very important things. Modular software development, the CIOs. I mean, he really hit on some things that are very accurate. And I think one of the things he hits on really feeds right into what you do about communications, doesn't he?
Yes, I think shared services, which is a big piece of that, and there's another whole shared services strategy that complements the 25-point plan. There's a lot of opportunity for using shared services via either a unified communications or a collaboration platform type solution, such as SharePoint.
And do the systems you design, do they integrate with SharePoint, or how does that work out?
We can integrate particularly well with Microsoft's unified communications product, which is Link for SharePoint, and the others will play together also. But I think Link probably provides the tightest integration.
Is that LINQ? Is that how you spell that?
LYNC.
That's why I know it's a funny spelling. LYNC. I thought about that. If you remember last summer, in August of 2011, I was in the studio here. And I was waiting for two guests to show up, and they didn't show up because of a little minor thing called an earthquake. And we could look out the window here, and we could see, you know, the National Cathedral, and they're doing $10 million worth of work on it because of that one little day back in August. And I was interested in emergency communications, and I think that the umbrella you talk about, unified communications, just assists in my listeners developing emergency communication plans, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it is an important ability to have everything converged in that way so that different ways of reaching out to your user base and your customers are can be handled consistently.
Yeah, so an agency may have to communicate with people, and each one of these persons may want a different way to be communicated of the situation.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Where one person may want to be text message, another
right.
person, they may want an email. Old fuddy-duddies like me may want an actual telephone call. And so what you have to do is you got to, you know, find out what your audience is and respond to that audience needs.
Yeah, and there are a lot of excellent mass communication and notification systems out there where you can actually program all that right into the system. And so you flip the switch and off it runs, and it does exactly that. It, for each under each user profile, it'll communicate with that person the way that it's set up
That's
in the profile.
Want. And the funniest thing is I was here and I saw so many Twitter messages going back and forth. People in the federal government were tweeting into Federal News Radio asking them, is my agency open? What's going on tomorrow? And I thought it was interesting that, you know, 7 years ago, changing environment, who would have thought of tweeting into a radio station to see if your agency is open? But they were doing it right here. It's just amazing because a lot of people would tweet in here and find out, what about the snow day? It's fascinating change in communications, isn't it?
Right. So these mass notification systems are excellent, but not all agencies are using them. So it is an excellent feature to be able to do that and communicate that. But certain security organizations use them, but I don't know that it's gone throughout the entire federal government at this point.
You know, I tell my kids that I was in high school with Abraham Lincoln, and they say, oh, he didn't go to high school. They don't doubt that I'm that old. And so I've been around, and I can remember PBXs, private branch exchange. PBXs, you'd go into a building, and there would be a person in a little closet, and they'd be at PBXs in there, and they'd switch calls. And for the longest time, I mean, I was in business for a long time just with telephones. I mean, I remember switching over in the 90s, but telephones were the way of doing business. And traditionally, I think of a phone system as a physical switch sitting in a closet somewhere in the first floor somewhere. And what's happened is the technology has changed where it's become digitized and it's sitting in a server somewhere. And now we have different types of communication where sometimes they're local, sometimes they're hosted in the cloud, sometimes they're premises-based, sometimes there's not. Is this one of the challenges you have in describing what phone systems actually are anymore? Because they can be so many things.
Yes. Interestingly, there's still more PBXs out there than you might think. Not everybody has gone to the server-based phone system yet. It's certainly pervasive and growing, but there's still plenty of PBXs out there. So one of the first steps in working with customers is just that, is getting a good understanding of what their current infrastructure is and where they are right now. And a lot of them still are using PBXs, and you see more and more solicitations right now for, okay, we're converting from our traditional PBX to a VoIP system. So
even today, huh?
Even today.
That's amazing. I was doing some research for this interview, and I've come across some really strange acronyms. Everyone knows the acronym BYOD, you know, bring your own device. Okay, we know that. We know that the implications for security. But there's no one called BYOC. It's called bring your own car, because more and more new cars are incorporating communication dashboards on there, and they just assume that's going to be part of the network. Here we go. Finally I figure out BYOD, now there's BYOC. So there are challenges involved with mobile devices in all telephone systems, aren't there?
Especially security. That's a huge challenge. And I think quality of service is a challenge that infrastructures have to be able to address. Also, having sufficient inside the building mobile and wireless bandwidth to handle all the traffic that they would need to through their network.
It's almost like an agency if one of the people in the upper echelon decide to get a new car and have new phones in it, they have to knock on you and go, okay, what is going to be the policy for this? What is our policy for iPads? What is our policy for the Mini? What's our policy for the Galaxy? What's our policy for phones and cars? What about the next iPhone that's going to be released in 6 months? I mean, this is a very dynamic environment. I mean, there's best practices, but where's their best practice where you don't even know what the good practice is? Where do you know what the practice is?
Yeah, I think a lot of agency CIOs are in the position of invention when it comes to policy and governance of all these mobile devices and how I am willing to or how I am able to incorporate them in the here and the now.
And we talked about shared services earlier, and maybe sharing TWD sharing knowledge as well. There's knowledge sharing involved here. So what kind of services do you think are going to be most in demand here in the next few years of the federal government? Telephony? Is it going to be video? What do you think the growth areas are going to be?
Well, I think opportunity, and I think in accordance with the shared services policy, is let's attack commodity IT to start. So let's handle the basic infrastructure and the basic email system and collaboration tools now in a shared approach, and then we can move on to the next level, which I think will be business systems for finance, HR, travel and expense type systems, those kinds of capabilities.
And go right on down the line. Yeah. Let's take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about video. I've seen some amazing demonstrations of Cisco and video, and I want to see where it fits in for a typical agency, and what about security requirements for that? I think that's an interesting concept, and I think people have been talking about video ever since the Jetsons, and I don't know how many people are actually deploying it, but a lot of people are talking about it. That's one interesting topic, and I think many of our listeners are trying to think about, you know, I can reduce my travel budget next year. Well, can I, and is it going to lose effectiveness or gain effectiveness? And I think you could have some perspective on that for the benefit of my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Larry Besterman, president and CEO of a company called TWD. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Larry Besterman, president and CEO of TWD. We're talking phones. Now we're talking, not talking phones, we're talking communications. Yeah, we're talking unified communications. We're talking everything from, from video to email and text, collaboration tools, presence, messaging, unified messaging. I want to talk a little bit about video, and I kind of facetiously referred to the Jetsons earlier. But everyone's been talking about video for decades, and people could save money on video in the 1980s, save money video conference in the 90s, save video in the last 10 years. Well, what's the state of video, and where's the application for my listeners?
I think the state of video is people don't want to necessarily have to go to a special room that they have to go through a special process to reserve and pay for a special operator to make it all work, and then everybody gathers at the appointed place and time, and the call doesn't go through.
Been there, done that. I've seen that. Yeah,
that is really where we've been, and I think because of those challenges, I don't think video has had the cost reduction and the productivity enhancement that really we've been promising for all these years. And when I say we, I have to include myself and my company in that, because we've done a lot of video conferencing and a lot of sophisticated rooms for a lot of customers. I think where it's heading now in a unified communications environment is I can video chat and I can participate in conferences from my desk more easily from my desktop or from my mobile device. And I think here we're finally, the technology is finally evolving and maturing to the point where we really might get some behavioral change in people. The truth is people like to travel. I mean, people don't want to travel all the time, but yeah, they like it as the occasional diversion away from their everyday routine. And getting them to not travel and collaborate by video is going to take more than just the talking head mentality. Well, I'm going to need video, but I'm going to need to be able to work on a document as well. And it can't be in a teeny tiny window that I can't see anything, and it can't be static. It's got to be dynamic. So I think with the kind of collaboration tools that we're now getting the ability to provide and learn how to use, I think the promise of video is maybe a lot closer to being realized than it's been in where we've been in the past.
We have listeners who are very technical, and they may look at standards with video and say there's some problems in there. Are there issues with just standards and video for all devices working with each other?
Yeah, I think there's some challenges there between what the video conferencing industry would consider to be true VTC quality video versus a streaming type application where you don't get the same quality, but the streaming type applications that are web based are improving in quality so quickly and maturing so quickly that I think that divergence is really going away.
You know, if you look at the statistics, and this shocked me, 40% of all teens in the United States have smartphones. So 1 billion people have cell phones in the world today. Another billion people who are on Facebook. I mean, we see this. I mean, more people have cell phones than toothbrushes. I mean, this is shocking. And maybe your theory about video is finally going to arrive once it can be held in your hand, maybe that's the approach. I mean, so many other things have just amplified since the handheld devices came everywhere. So maybe a tablet device would be the breakthrough tool for video conferencing.
Yeah, I think it could be. Your phone is a little small, especially if you're going to try to do any kind of work on a document at the same time. But an ultrabook type PC or a tablet with where you can attach a keyboard to the tablet and you could actually do work on a document collaboratively while you're in a video conference, I think holds a great promise.
And to tell you the truth, I think the application might be, let's say if I had a friend in Chicago and you're in Philadelphia and I'm in D.C. and we're expected to go to a conference in San Francisco and talk about ANSI standard. Well, you know, we could play this game where we fly to Pittsburgh or something, or we can collaborate online and work on a document that way. And I think that might be a practical application. I'm sure there are people listening who have to collaborate with someone in Germany and Afghanistan and Japan. And what tool can you use to actually accomplish that? Maybe there are video tools out there, and maybe just handheld devices will make those more effective.
I think so. And I think platforms, collaboration platforms like SharePoint can play an important role too, because you can get your documents into one place that everybody can access no matter where you are, and that's an important step forward also. So now I can video chat or IM, and we can be looking at the same document rather than, you know, there's still a lot of places where you have to email the document as an attachment, and I've got track changes on, and I got your changes and my changes, and it gets very difficult. But if you can do it dynamically, real time, with an application like SharePoint, I save it. It's still available to everybody in its updated version. I think that holds a lot of promise.
You know, if for example, my little company did a demo to a group in Australia. And it was real simple. It's 8 o'clock at night here, and you demo them, and it's a telephone connection and it's software. That's almost brain dead. I mean, anyone can do that. Now, taking it to the next level of another person coming in, a different time zone, and collaborating on a document, we have to see the document. The complexity, it's like, you know, in the Olympics, the diving. Well, this is degree of difficulty is 4.8. This degree of difficulty is 8.8. It's a degree of difficulty goes way up, doesn't it?
Right, right.
What about intra-agency and inter-agency communications? Is there an area for communications improvement in that area?
I think in a shared services approach, you know, your lowest hanging fruit is going to be intra-agency activity. Inter-agency, you do get into more difficulties. Some of those are even acknowledged in the shared services strategy, where you talk about the way money is appropriated and who owns money and how they're accountable for appropriated funds, it can make interagency collaboration more of a challenge. You have more governance and policy issues there than really you have technology issues.
Some of my listeners are intimately acquainted with video standards and can search online, learn more about it. If you are a listener and you are involved in the Twitter world, there's a hashtag called UCOMS for Unified Communications. You can follow that. You can follow me. My hashtag my handle is at Ray Gilray. It's a strange one for me, at Ray Gilray, and I'll be talking about this interview as soon as it airs. And talking about cost savings and unified communications and shared services, this is all kind of an area where all of my listeners are interested in saving money here in the next few years.
Cost savings, I think you think about cost savings in a couple different ways. First of all, if I can truly collapse stovepiped infrastructures into one converged IP infrastructure, I should be able to save some telecommunications costs.
That's your umbrella again.
Yeah. I should be able to also reduce my support costs because I have one team who should be able to manage all of that, as opposed to separate teams for my PBX and a separate group to handle my VTC conference rooms and a separate group for my servers. And then those savings are real, and you can realize those. But then you have to think about, all right, how is this going to flow into my mission area? So, because all of the things that, all of that that I was talking about, that's really all in the back office. And then you have to look at, okay, how does this improve the mission area? Is it just productivity enhancement? I can work smarter. I can share knowledge better. Or can I actually get cost reduction in the mission area and how I provide services to my customers and my users? So that's a whole different set of challenges, and you have to break outside of the CIO organization to start analyzing and measuring what you're doing to see how those tools can actually reduce costs in providing the mission support to your users.
I keep thinking of business scenarios and reducing business problems and reducing complexity, and I think that's what unified communication can provide. Let's take a break. We'll jump back in, talk more about some of the challenges my listeners have in moving to unified communications and unified messages, and talk more about the future of communications. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Larry Besterman, President and CEO of TWD. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Larry Besterman, CEO of a company called TWD. For more information, you can go to twd.com. They work in the area of unified communications and a whole wide range of platforms, Microsoft, Cisco, Avaya, ShoreTel. They have a whole lot of different solutions. I will be blogging about this interview. If you want to find my blog, you can just go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and then something comes up, or maybe an ugly picture or something will pop up there. You can learn more about this and get links and maybe behind-the-scenes photos, maybe, just maybe. Before the break, we were talking about savings and some of the challenges in making a transition to unified communications. From the perspective of a person working at an agency, what do you think the challenges are in trying to, you know, use some of the savings involved with unified communications?
Well, I think getting your hands on the money is always a challenge. If I've saved money here, do I get to reuse it somewhere else? I think is a significant challenge. There's a tendency, I think, in the financial management world and the government that says, well, if I gave you 10 cents and you only used 8 of it, I take the other 2 back, as opposed to, all right, I saved 2, so why don't I get to reinvest that 2 into this other capability that'll save me the next penny further down the road? I think that, you know, goes back to what we were talking about earlier when we talk about the way money is appropriated and managed. Those become challenges to invest and save, because there's a tendency in the federal government to spend. If I give you 10 cents, you have to spend 10 cents, or next year I'm going to automatically cut you to whatever it is you spent. So yeah, that's a real problem to generate the incentive to save and the incentive to reduce costs.
I think one of the lessons from this interview is that one size doesn't fit all. There are 135 different agencies out there, and there may be a communication solution that 135 different ones. And maybe within divisions of those agencies, there's different solutions involved. And I think that's why a company like yours can walk in and say, look, we can sell you Cisco, but, you know, it's the wrong, not the square peg in the square hole. ShoreTel's better for this particular small agency. And I think ShoreTel works great in some small commercial applications. Big guys, you may scratch your head with that.
Well, we are seeing ShoreTel in larger implementations, and there are some places where they have an existing footprint that they are adding unified communication capabilities to that existing footprint. So the government is so large and diverse that I think all these providers have a footprint somewhere within the government.
Yeah,
and I think it's also interesting to look at it from the perspective of each agency and department looking at, okay, if we're going to look at it from a shared services approach, how could we apply that to us? Maybe we shouldn't be going out and getting our own unified communication solution. Where else does it exist that I can leverage?
Makes sense.
I think that's really the intent of the strategy, and I think we should all be supportive of that.
Well, Larry, this is the part of the show that's mandatory. You have to take this nerd test. It's a certified nerdometer test. I'm asking you 10 questions, find out what level of nerd you really are. See if you're like a, you know, carrying one of these pocket protectors and a slide rule when you were in high school or not. So first question, what was the year you bought your first computer?
It was 1985. It was an Apple IIc.
Oh, that's an interesting choice. Year your first cell phone?
That was with TWD, in fact. That was 1995. We a bunch of us got Sprint Spectrum phones.
That's a little late, so you lose points on that. And do you have your own Twitter feed?
I do not.
Ooh, do you have your own blog?
No.
Oh, you're sinking fast, Larry. You're going to be normal here. You're not going to be a nerd.
They'll put
Sorry.
You in the,
you could be a cool guy. And do you use any personal online backup services?
No, I do not. Okay. I use a thumb drive.
Good. And what kind of a smartphone do you have?
An Android.
Android, okay. How many apps are on that bad boy?
I have no idea.
You're losing. You're not a nerd. You're not going to walk a star on your forehead here. Okay, what kind of tablet device do you have?
I do not have a tablet.
Oh, meep. Wish I had one of those buzzers. Meep, meep. And the final question, and you may pull yourself out of this, is the last book. No, social networking sites. LinkedIn?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
That
okay,
is my
reasonable.
Site of choice.
And the last question, the big differentiator here. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Larry, is nice knowing you, buddy, but you're no nerd, you know? You got to really work on it. You do. You have to start hanging out with 20-year-olds and start texting and emailing and tweeting,
all right.
You
got to
give it the program, buddy.
Here's the thing. The thing is that you have to be good at something to be a leader, and you have to have good people around you. So I don't view that I necessarily have to be the technology leader of TWD. I am good at something, but not necessarily the technology leader. But I can tell you that I got plenty of guys who have all of these things and more.
I know people in their 20s who have all these devices, and they're renting. They're not buying a house. It's like, well, wait a minute. I mean, you spend and you're leasing a car, and you have all these phones, and you know, what about your financial future? Well, I'll worry about that. I got to send out this text message. So it's a interesting perspective. Old geezer like me looking at the situation going, well, there's a lot to be said for, you know, being a novice in the world of technology, but you know, who's to know? Speaking of certified tests, I have a certified crystal ball here. I'll put it in your hands. And I want you to gaze into the future and accurately predict the Super Bowl. No, accurately predict what's going to happen with this in the next 5 years. I couldn't have predicted smartphones. I mean, this wave of smartphones, who could have predicted? So tell me, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire here, where do you see in general communications heading in the next 5 to 7 years?
Right. So since nobody could have predicted smartphones,
No.
The safe thing to do was to extrapolate current trends. So that's what I'll do. I think my first prediction there is that you are going to see a more widespread adoption of unified communications versus what you have now is a lot of different separate applications for business. I think individuals have gotten ahead of where businesses are. With the different things that are done on devices and tablets and smartphones. But I think business is going to catch up, and I think unified communications is going to help businesses catch up. Second, I think you're going to see a much more widespread adoption of a common collaboration platform like SharePoint. And that's going to, I think, replace the traditional file server drive structure that we're all familiar with. I have my hard drive. I have my network home drive. I have some network shared drives. That's going to go away, I think. And you're going to have a more unstructured environment that you can create the structure that makes sense through a platform like SharePoint.
And the 20-somethings are using Google in this area, but the mature people in enterprise situations say, wait, let's take a closer look at that. SharePoint may
right.
be better for them.
And then my third extrapolation and not excessively bold prediction is that you're going to see bring your own device become the norm rather than out there as something new to be thought about. I think it'll be the norm. And companies, are actually going to reap a great deal of cost savings by not having to invest in the desktop infrastructure. It's going to save a lot of money. If everybody's bringing in their own device and I'm just connecting to a port, that's going to reduce capital investment quite dramatically, I think.
20 years ago, I would never hire someone and expect them to waltz in with their Nextel handset to plug into my telephone network. It would be impossible. But now I think we're hiring 25-year-olds that waltz in with their own phones, expect us to jack right into the network immediately. And this actually can give more control over to enterprises in that situation, as long as they understand where to select the umbrella, what kind of unified communications to use to manage this device.
I think it's quite interesting from the perspective that 10 years ago, if you told somebody you have to bring your own device,
they would say, hey,
that's for you to do.
Yeah, that's
Mr.
your job.
Mr. Employer, you pay for that. I'm not paying for that.
And bring your own chair and desk and your own water cooler. No,
right.
But now they do.
Now they want to. Forget about they're willing to. Now they're demanding that I can bring my own device. That's a completely different mindset.
And the other mindset is, 20 years ago, hey, you know, if you have an employee, let's say named AJ, and he's in the weekend, well, he's off fishing or doing something. Who knows? Now, oh, where's AJ? It's Saturday at 6 o'clock. We want to know what's going on. It's just it's the bad news of the BYOD is that, you know, the work gets longer and longer.
Yeah, the lack of mental downtime and being away from work and the email and the Twitter feed and all of that. I think there's psychological aspects of that that we haven't even begun to explore or figure out how it's going to affect us, but I think we're already seeing signs that it is. And you do have to learn how to shut those things down and get away from it.
Psychology and the cell phone. I have to do the interview with that sometime in the early next year. Who knows where this is going to lead. Got to end the conversation here. We're running out of time. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Larry Besterman, President and CEO of TWD. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.